Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Edition. So stoked that we are. Christmas present came early. I want to play this game no matter what. My fear of losing does not offset me wanting to avoid this game.
I love this game. It's a great game. And I think everybody should want it to be played.
Yes.
You know, there's people, you meet them. I'm tired. I don't like the rivalry.
It's got too vicious.
My thing is like, you remember the rivalry games. They mean something.
Yeah.
You know, every year we get to the bowl game, and Tasha, what do I always ask you?
Do these mean anything?
Do these mean a thing?
Yeah. This one does.
This one does,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. There's bragging rights.
There's bragging rights. It's awesome. And this is probably, I would guess, one of the only times, probably the only time, that we're going to play them in a bowl game.
Yeah.
So this even has a little extra juice because there's two trophies to be playing for. The Deseret Duel Trophy.
And the Las Vegas, the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. Everyone wants that trophy.
Everybody loves the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl Trophy. It is more sought after than the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, even the Sugar Bowl, even a bowl of Life cereal, which is my favorite cereal.
Yeah.
Is it yours?
No. I was just kind of agreeing, but yeah. Okay. No, I'm not a big cereal guy, but we don't want to go off on this tangent.
On that, we appreciate you breaking up and listening to the Cereal Podcast.
Yes.
To listen to us. You've been listening to
Cereal? I've listened to episode one. Is that all that's out yet?
Yeah, there's two.
Okay,
now.
Yeah.
The other one is, hopefully this is helping you get over the anxiety as you wait to find out what sort of horrible things Kylo Ren is going to do to the galaxy. Do you think they'll destroy a whole planet again?
I don't know.
They did that in the fourth one. That's pretty evil.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of evil, let's talk about the University of Utah. The Utes. You remember those old commercials, the Life Comes at You Fast commercials?
No.
Somebody was
thinking. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I do. Yeah. Life Comes at You Fast.
Life Comes
yep.
at You Fast.
Yep.
Like, their season has been a Life Comes at You Fast commercial, hasn't it? They were in the top 10.
They were the top three. That's what I love about this game, is they were riding so high. Like, they finally arrived in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and USC had a disaster of a year, and they still couldn't beat USC in the standings of their division.
Yeah.
And of their crap division. Between the South and the North division in the Pac-12, the South is horrible compared to the North. But they were co-champs of their division. Good team. We respect them. 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
But life comes at you fast, Ute fans. Life.
This magic season could end with not only a worse record than BYU, a worse ranking than BYU, and end with a loss to BYU. If things go, like, it could be the funniest, awesomest ending to their magical season.
Yeah.
And that's why they were so scared of this game. Like, I just loved, they would not even give it a shot in their minds that they could be playing us in Las Vegas, and then it happened.
Well, you know, they get to play Michigan, and they get to play us. It's amazing.
Yep.
The irony, of course, Tosh, they didn't want to be in this bowl game. You saw a lot of sour grapes from Utah fans, a lot of Ute privilege out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people saying, oh, well, if we went 6-3 in the Pac-12, that doesn't deserve a Las Vegas bowl. That smells of Ute privilege.
Oh, yeah.
But here they are. They're playing in the Vegas Bowl. And why? Because they're forever connected to BYU. And this is the way the universe is proving that. But the most important element of all of this will be how the game actually goes. And, of course, we know with Bronco Mendenhall leaving but staying around for one more game, how much do you think that affects the BYU team heading into the Vegas Bowl?
You know, I think
it hurts them.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters that much. I think the players, because it's a rivalry game, the players know what's at stake. Bragging rights. This is the game. They've been getting texts. They're going to be focused. I don't buy into that they're not going to have practiced as hard or something.
Well, we've never practiced hard before bowl games, though. the whole thing, if we play a team in a bowl game and they have turmoil at their head coaching spot,
yeah.
Don't you always feel better about our, like,
yes, when that's happened, but let's look at the last two times that's happened. Against Washington in the bowl game, who then beat us.
Yeah.
This year against Missouri, when they had all this turmoil, we looked at it as a distraction, and they played their best game of the year. Like, for sure, it's something that's like, well, maybe the players rally around.
We played UCLA in the Vegas Bowl, and they had Dwayne Walker behind. I think we came away with a 1-point win. 17-16, that was when Valley Unit blocked the field goal.
But there's something weird that sometimes players can just almost like a heck with the coaches, heck with the chaos. Let's win this one for us.
Sure.
And I'm hoping that's what we're getting.
Well, hopefully. Hopefully they do a few dirty plays out there too.
As long as we win, we can do a few nut shots along the way. So let's break down whose nuts we will be punching this week.
Let's do it.
And Utah's defense is their offense does not scare me. Their defense is the one that if they win this game, it's going to be because of their D.
Sure.
They've got some players. Their D line is always great. They've got this guy that caused a lot of uproar by his comments, but this Semi, I can't remember his last name. Semi is a good D tackle for them.
Sure.
One of their best D ends, Hunter Dimmick, is probably not going to play, but they also had what most, at least locally, everyone was shocked that Gianni Paul didn't win Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. That he has the stats to do it. He's their best defensive player, Gianni Paul, transfer from Miami. That guy can play. They have, as always, a good secondary. Their best guy in their secondary is Dominic Hadfield. Made famous for a cell phone theft, but ended up getting back on the field this year and has played very well besides getting embarrassed by Juju against USC. If you haven't seen that Vine, go check out that Vine.
That's awesome.
But their defense is good. And
Smith-Schuster really pumped him on that play, for sure.
And if there was one defense that just killed us this year, it was Michigan. If there's another team we're playing that runs a similar defensive style to Michigan, it is this Utah team.
Well, we felt that way about Missouri, and we didn't really light it up against Missouri.
Correct. But I would, from a stats perspective, both Missouri and Michigan statistically have been a better defense than Utah. So maybe my fears are too strong about their defense from a stats standpoint, but I still... Kyle Whittingham has always had his defense ready to play, and his defensive backs being physical with our receivers have always given us fits.
Well, here's the thing about that Utah defense. They're awesome against the run. According to Bill Connolly's S&P rankings, defensive S&P for the Utes, they're 20th, but they're 4th against the run. Okay, 28th against the pass, so you got a better chance throwing against them. But then he has a measure where he does it against passing downs. So this is when they can predict that we got to throw because it's a 3rd and 6 or longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on passing downs, they improve all the way to 10th best defense in the country. They really bring the blitz, and they cause all sorts of problems for that. So what does that indicate to you? To beat them and this defense, it's all about first down.
Yes. We need to have some sort of a running game or short passing game on first down.
Have to make yards on first down. Cougars are going to have to win first down if they're going to score points.
And I don't think we're going to be able just to throw up 500 balls, kind of like we did against Utah State. Their defense is too good for that. What Let's change sides. Let's look at their offense. Their offense, as I already said, does not scare me. They had two prolific players this year that they rode and rode and gave those guys so many carries. Yeah. They had, Trevor Booker, Britton Covey.
Devontae.
Yes. Who's Trevor Booker?
I don't know. It's not even the name of the guy that plays on the Jazz, is it? No, it's the Jazz guy.
That's the Jazz guy, yeah. Devontae Booker, his twin brother. Devontae Booker is dynamic. He is not playing. Britton Covey, the freshman phenom from Provo, has a high ankle sprain and is saying he's going to give it a go, but he's not going to be 100%. Besides that, their receivers do not get open. Their line has been okay. Their second string running backs have been just average. And Travis Wilson, when they lose games, it's almost always his fault. He has played well against BYU in the past. So that's why we shouldn't count our chickens until they're hatched with Travis.
And the last guy that we really were feeling confident about trashing as a quarterback was the Michigan guy, right? We really came after him.
Jake yes. Rudock. Yep.
And Jake Rudock ended up having his best game of the season against BYU. So I worry because Travis Wilson can run the football a decent amount. This offense isn't scary. Most of the season they had Devontae Booker, okay? And again, to go through rushing S&P Plus, Bill Connolly's advanced stat, which measures based upon scenario and opponent, their rushing offense this year is 71st, even with Devontae Booker.
Yeah.
So now you take him out, right? 88th in passing, on passing downs, right? Gets even worse, 97th. So, the BYU defense can make some plays. And the other good part with Travis Wilson, the guy's turnover prone.
Yeah.
Like, he's had some just stinkers.
Yep.
He's gone out and thrown 6 interceptions in a game in his career. He's done that. But he's never done it against BYU.
Nope.
Maybe he's due, Tosh.
We need that to happen.
It's his last game.
He needs to return to his average all time against BYU. And not, because right now he's had some outlier games against us each time.
So those are the main components of the University of Utah offense. What are some of the main things, okay, that you believe BYU will need to do offensively in order to be effective against the Utes?
Two things. We need to, our running game this year has been Jekyll and Hyde, and we need it to show up. We need to establish a running game. We also need point number two, our receivers need to just man up and be able to not just patty cake with their defenders and actually get off the line, fight through bump and run, and get open. That we need our receivers to be able to get open. We need to establish a running game. We do those two things, we win.
All right. It'll be exciting to see what happens on the gridiron. ABC this Saturday afternoon. And now, it's time for 10 for Tosh.
Over. It's going to be right close to here, but I think we give this guy 7 carries. I've been hearing this year that all year that he might be, if, and a lot of people say he is our best player, he's our best running back in practice. And so I think that Mark Atuaya is going to give this guy, I don't see him getting 20 carries, but I see him getting 7. He will get 7 plus.
Question number 2. Will
remind me what the Bronson Trio is. He's had several of the Bronson Trio games this year. He will not get the Bronson Trio, but he will get two out of the three. He will get a sack. He will force a turnover, but no blocked kicks. Yeah, wait, I mean, two-time Guy Award winner? Are you kidding me? You think we're going to... Yeah, he's not going to block him, but that's okay.
Question number three, Covey,
Brayden Covey, will he have four touches? Yes. I don't think he's going to be a big-time force, but they're going to see what they have with him. And so I think that in the beginning, they're going to be working the ball to him. I don't see it hurting us that much, but I think, yes, he will get at least four touches. Utah. Utah will have more personal fouls called on them. Four. There's going to be four personal fouls, three of them on Utah. I actually think them calling us the dirty team, also of that kind of being something that's being said in the media, I think actually helps us in this game. I think we're going to come out fired up, but I think we're going to play a clean game. I don't think so. I don't think the refs buy into that stuff. Yes, I think that Mangum has, if there's one thing we should have learned about Mangum this year, he plays his best in the big moment. This is the big moment. I have a lot of confidence in him mentally, but I think he has a big, solid game. He will have over 300 yards passing.
Do you believe his hammies are...
Yes, and that's a great point, too. I think he's going to be healthier than he's been since the second week of the season. Yeah, his form got worse. He wasn't pushing off his back leg once he hurt that hammy. He'll feel healthier. I think he actually might run a little bit. At the very beginning of the season, he'd run a little bit, and he hasn't since then. But I bet he'll have some runs, too. We're adding stuff here, but he's going to have some runs. Multiple. And that's a good thing, because the last time his family went on a cell phone destroying spree was when we won. So the fact that there will be that there will be broken cell phones, which is a good sign for BYU.
Another Bronson Kafusi question. Will he get two sacks?
Yes. I think that Kafusi has gotten better as this year has gone on, and he will have... at least two sacks this Saturday.
The turnover prone Travis Wilson.
Push. This, I think that this is where we have, for the first time in a while, some good intercepting defensive backs, and I think that we will get two picks. A 100%. If Utah loses, 100% of their fans will say, well, it's because our players did, it was just a dumb game anyway. Yes. But I feel like we have an awesome comeback to every single one of their excuses. Yes. Utes may have felt too comfortable in Sin City and thus got beat by the Cougars.
Wow, it's another lesson you know said long.
A little long. They really had to change the font size, but they just needed it in there.
Us. Wow.
The real headline is Utes may have got too comfortable in Sin City. And then there's a sub headline, thus the Cougars.
One of the best parts about having Bronco Mendenhall being the coach is that even though this is a big game and it's important, it all is very small in its importance compared to what he'll say Friday night.
His final fireside. That's fitting. He's putting a little parting shot at his fan critics on the way out.
He hates us. I think he hates us.
He is very, very kind in one-on-one settings with fans, but when he's referring to the fans as a whole, it seems that then he starts using phrases like Sadducees and Pharisees. And that's true. That is true. Me and you?
Yeah.
I don't.
Nah,
I bet he doesn't know who we are, but he doesn't like the thought. Yeah. I don't think he's listening to us in his headphones before the game, though. He should, though. Maybe now that he's going to be in Virginia, this will be his way to keep in touch with the team. I made a list, and after I got to 776, I decided just to pick the most obvious one, which is the dang dirty Ute fans think and just love to think that they have left us behind and that they're on their high horse with their giant Pac-12 truck stickers, that they... South Division co-champions... who then end up with the sixth pick in the bowl game, that right there, that the reason they hate is just that they want so bad just to have BYU be looked so much below them, that their fans' arrogance is the reason that should really drive. We're not anymore, yeah. They're the arrogant ones now. And thus, this game will feel so good that in their year when they finally felt like they were validated and that they left us in the dust, that all they had to do was win one more game to be in the Pac-12 championship, and they couldn't get it done. And then they end up against the team that they wanted forgotten in the Las Vegas Bowl. And this should be a fun, fun weekend. Yes. They like to kind of, yeah, anyway, dislike the fact that... No, I think there's some similarities there. So let's go. Let's end now with predictions. What is your prediction this week? I have no idea what you're going to pick. We've lost four in a row, so. Totally agree. I think the pressure's on Utah, where it seems like in the past, I felt as a fan there was a lot more pressure on BYU as a must win. Where this one, I think they have a lot more to lose.
It says more about Utah.
Yep.
Based upon the
game. Correct. So, like, BYU hasn't beat Utah by more than 7 points in a long, long time. Like, I think there's only been one blowout in the last long, that 54-10 that we try to forget about. Yep, that's true, too. This year, though, another one I've blocked out. BYU has not won by more than 7 in a long time. I think that ends this week, though. And I'm not going blowout. I think it's a close back-and-forth game. But in the end, I think our defenses are pretty comparable. I think our offense is better than their offense. And with how things have played out, I think our players are in a better emotional place, mentally, more to win, not as much to lose. BYU wins on Saturday 27-17. Yes. And no, in all seriousness, I think Blackman has his first and only touchdown as a Cougar against Utah.
Everyone's rooting for it.
Yes.
It would be weird for Devon Blackman to end with less touchdowns than Keandre Nelson.
Yes, it would.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Go Cougars and beat Utah.
Travel safe.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!